This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier, the online course alchemist of Get That Course Online. Over the next hour and a bit, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses and a top-of-mind topic relevant to trainers. We also talk about events to consider, books to read, and a weekly top tip for online course creation. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and every now and again we invite a guest on to share their experience and expertise. You can contact us through Twitter on @TrainerTalkPod, or feel free to email either Sharon or me. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast. We are on episode number 47. And there's something about the number 47. There's all sorts of spooky things to talk about. Not least, the number 47 apparently is a Keith number. Now, you know, we were talking about Trainer Talk Live, yeah, and our friend Keith, who has now retired from Woodside, who used to always look after us. So when I read this morning that 47 is a Keith number, it's like, oh, is that weird? I have no idea what a Keith number is, of course, but, you know, that's what's come up in the interesting sort of facts about the number 47. However, it's not only a Keith number, it's a Carol number. So if the new person looking after us at Woodside turns out to be called Carol, I'm going to fall over in a faint. That's just going to be too much, I reckon. So we'll be on the lookout for who that might be. The other thing about the number 47, because we have to get a sci-fi reference in there, obviously, is that apparently 47 is something really important to J.J. Abrams, who does a lot of the Star Trek stuff. But even before he got involved in all of that, 47 is a number that has apparently been mentioned more times than any other number. In sort of Star Trek-y type things. So there you go, the number 47. It's exciting, isn't it?
Well, not half as exciting as another number that I'd like to mention.
Yeah, do go on, Sharon. I don't know what you could possibly be talking about.
Can we talk about the number 19, please? Uh-huh.
No, 19. Yeah, go on then. Why is that important then, eh?
The number 19 being the number of Grand Slams a said Rafa Nadal has now won.
Aha. And when did he get his 19th?
Well, about 3 o'clock this morning.
And how are you feeling? Bearing in mind it's, you know, just gone 11:30.
Well, yes. I've had about 4 hours sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling remarkably perky. Yeah, that wasn't what I was saying 30 minutes ago. But I think I would have been feeling considerably less perky had he not won.
I think that's probably true to say. Yes, definitely. This would the atmosphere for this podcast would have been considerably different, I think.
It would have been. Oh my God, can you imagine? I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, but he did it. He pulled it out of the bag, despite Medvedev's best efforts of, trying to...
My goodness me. As I was saying when we did our preamble for the podcast today, you know, for the neutrals, if you were a neutral, I mean, what an incredible match. I can't get my words out even. My brain is so slow this morning. Unbelievable. I mean, basically 5 hours of just... intense and incredible drama. It was amazing.
Yeah. But
God. 3 o'clock in the morning is not good. He should have finished at midnight if it hadn't been for Medvedev's remarkable comeback. But hey, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, kind of, you know, that's kind of what you want for a Grand Slam is something completely different, right? That's British Bake Off territory. Grand Slam final. Because otherwise people sort of look at it and they think it's easy. Do you know what I mean? You need that jeopardy to help people understand that it's not something that is, you know, oh yeah, you turn up and then it's a given that Rafa's going to get it or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. My goodness me. And, you know, I just don't know how he managed to do it. You know, as I said, the momentum at two sets all was just all with Medvedev.
Well, the mental strength that it takes to have that momentum and to then be almost you know, brought to a halt with that, and then to get it back again. I mean, you know, the mental strength, the resilience, it kind of actually, spookily enough, links into our top of mind topic today, which we'll come on to in a little bit. But, you know, to have that wherewithal to sort of pick yourself back up when everything's going your way, and then all of a sudden it looks like it's going to slip from your fingers, I think is astonishing. It's absolutely amazing.
It was incredible, and it was this is not going to happen. I am not losing this match. I'm not losing it, you know, typical Rafa. And it was just incredible. You know, what a match. Mm-hmm. What an atmosphere. And the sight of him sitting on the, you know, this is a guy who, you know, objectively speaking, has now won 19 Grand Slams. He's just amazing. Yet he sat there on the chair and just cried, and tears rolling down his cheeks.
It's another moment where Sharon wants to reach into the telly and give him a big hug.
Oh my God. There were plenty of those.
I'll bet. So at the risk of this, again, turning into Tennis Talk podcast, did anything else happen for you last week? I mean, you know.
Well, I was still down in Wales last week. As I said to you, attempting to do my sort of laptop lifestyle, you know, take your laptop, you know, work anywhere, have a bit of a holiday at the same time. You know, that was the intention. Big mistake.
Oh dear.
Shouldn't have done it. I think the combination of sort of it being sort of the first week technically back at work, you know, really busy week, and it was kind of, oh my God, you know, all these emails coming together. Plus I started, you know, the 30-day program where I have to do a Facebook Live every single night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I love that, where I have to do a Facebook Live every night at 7. You set the timetable for this, Mrs. It's not as if, you know, somebody's imposed this on you.
I thought it was a good idea at the time. You know, there was me, you know, by the side of the road in Cardiff. Facebook
Live. Well, you know, needs must and all that. It just goes to show, if you want the laptop lifestyle, that's what it takes sometimes, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, I'd had to, you know, go to Cardiff unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And I went up there, and then I realised I wouldn't get back in time because it was going to go on much longer.
Yeah.
And then I had this moment of, shall I do it in the car park? And then I thought, oh, well, what if I then go over my ticket, and then I get to, you know, I pay for the car park, and then I sort of get there, put the ticket in, and it says, oh no, you know, you owe another £5 or whatever. I thought, oh no, I don't like the sound of it. So I decided to leave the car park, and then I'm like driving along and thinking, okay, well, where can I pull over? So I pulled over, literally got out of the car, sped to the, you know, ran to this sort of pay and display thing, and there was nothing about whether you needed to pay or not. And I've just, oh God, I'm just going to have to get in the car and just hope that it's legal to park here, at which point I got 5 minutes into the Facebook Live, and this police car came back.
Oh God, coming for you.
I'm going to be arrested in the middle of a Facebook Live now.
I love that. That's brilliant.
The things I do. Because I was not going to let my people down, basically.
No, such dedication.
Every night at 7 o'clock, and that's what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do.
Yep.
So it was also a bit of a bad idea, because I think what I wanted to do was kind of, and I managed to do this in May, so kind of like do a bit of work, but also, you know, take advantage of, you know, being able to walk on the beach and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But this time, because I just seemed to have a very busy week and more stuff to do, I was also having this feeling of kind of, okay, well, I've done some work this morning and I could, you know, just carry on doing it. But then the guilt of, oh yeah, but I really need to go out and walk on the beach, because if I don't, what's the point in being here?
Yeah.
What's the point of paying £400 for,
yeah,
you know, and then not taking advantage of it? So then all that going on, you know, and then other half decided, oh, it would be a really good idea to look at some houses while we're here, wouldn't it?
Sure, added pressure, yay.
You know, plus, you know, said daughter decides to, you know, have one drama after another.
Yeah.
And it was just a kind of, oh my God. And it
I was going to say, unexpected crises with Amy, and they're not so unexpected now. It's like just the next crisis with Amy.
I know, indeed. So it got to the point where we got to Saturday and I was like, oh God, I can't wait to get home now.
Go home for a rest.
Yeah, well, not from the point of view of leaving there, but just to kind of feel I'm back in my own house with all my things around me. Organised. And then not feeling, and then this morning I was like, oh, great, I can get organised. But then the curveball of being up till 3 o'clock in the morning and then having ridiculous estate agent man coming by this morning. You've got 2 hours.
Oh dear. Yeah.
I believe in being honest, you know, and it's all about behind the scenes, being flustered. It's not always as perfect as we would like.
Well, I don't think either of us have ever made out that it's perfect. That's for sure. it's definitely warts and all. But yeah, I do think that sometimes people can look at somebody else's business or look at somebody else who is in business and go, oh, they've got it so together. You know, everything works perfectly for them. And I think you this last week and these last few days but particularly you this week are a case in point for no. it's that's kind of the exception rather than the rule sometimes.
Oh my goodness me. And it's learning about yourself as well though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now I've learned that is not a good idea to try and do that. I've also learned that I'm just, when I feel slightly out of control and slightly disorganised, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like this feeling.
Spiral.
But unfortunately, looking at my week and what it's like this week, it's just more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like, oh my God, and just like, right, okay, I'm just going to get through this week as best I can. And then take it.
Yeah. And so, well, you know what, sometimes that's the only thing we can do is just go, yeah, I know it's going to be pretty full on this week, I know it's going to be manic, I know it's going to be hectic, I'm barely going to have time to catch breath, I've just got to keep going and get through it.
Yeah.
But I think that turns into an issue when, and this kind of leads on to what I was going to talk about with my week. So are you done with yours?
Or no, just a couple of things.
Go on, then.
I did actually want to say, apart from the fact that I've been obligated to turn up on Facebook Live every day, and including broadcasting, from Cardiff.
Yeah.
It's actually, in terms of how that, because obviously this programme was an experiment, it was something that I thought of doing, sort of basing the programme around the 30-day ebook, and sort of doing a Facebook Live every day based on one of the, based on the activity from the book each day. Have to say, it's actually going really well.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, good.
As a concept, yeah. I'm actually using the Facebook group has been great because people are turning up and they're doing their homework every day. And not everybody, some people have already fallen by the wayside, but, you know, that, you always get that in a program.
You do.
The ones that are actually turning up and are actually doing the activity every day, and actually going in there and doing a Facebook Live, I said to them, you can do it as a text post. We're feeling brave. Do it as a Facebook Live because it's actually, you know, easier and quicker to talk.
Yeah, it certainly is.
And it'd be great to actually see your faces. The ones that are doing it, it's been great because already it's creating that, you know, that community feeling, creating that sort of really feeling that, you know, we're all going through this together. And it's just really working. And so it's been a hard week in terms of, my commitment. I've got another 3 weeks to go. and I have to say, I mean, flipping it, I mean, you and I talked about this, and I did this as a sort of almost like an introduction to me, an introduction to this is how I work.
Yeah.
This is the cheapest chips, you know, an introduction probably to trainer talk. But, I mean, my God, you know, for what they get for 97 quid.
It's astonishing.
It's ridiculously cheap.
It's amazing value.
Masses of value.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah, you've got to try these things and it will be interesting. I mean, I've had to I'm going to put off my other online program. I'm going to delay that till the first week in November now.
Okay.
One, because an email should have gone out about that today and I was like, oh my god, I've not done that. And two, I just thought, okay, let's just probably is a bit too close. Let's just delay that a little bit. I'll still do it. If I start it the first week in November, that means there's still time.
Gets done before Christmas, doesn't it? Yeah.
Maybe last week in October or whatever. So again, it's all learning. So that's been good. That's been positive.
Good.
We had a meeting last week, a Trainer Talk focus group.
Yes.
Which popped up on. That was very good. And lots of sort of members contributing their ideas in terms of how we can make Trainer Talk better. I have to say it was probably just reconfirmed some of the things that were going through in my mind, certainly about the members area of the website. But it's good. It's good to get other people's views.
You
as
need
well.
That sometimes, though, don't you? You know, you just need that extra sort of added reassurance that what you're thinking is still right.
Yeah, definitely. And then finally, we had a Trainer Talk local in Galway on Friday. So
the first one in Ireland. It's very exciting.
Woohoo! Trainer Talk local has come to Ireland.
Yes. International.
International. So well done, Anne Walsh, for getting your first Trainer Talk local under your belt. I believe there was cake. So that's yes. always a good thing.
Absolutely right. It's what keeps us going.
So that was that was my week.
All right, so you can have a little snooze now, catch up on some sleep while I talk about my week, right? So a cracking week for me last week. Really, really happy with how things are going. Of course, we discussed last week how my August, excuse me, even though we weren't recording the podcast, didn't really stop in terms of taking any time off. So it wasn't like a sort of a back to school, back to work type feeling for me. However, it was noticeable that so many more people were around and asking questions and wanting information. So it's, as it always is in September, people are sort of stepping up into, right, what do I want to get done before the end of the year, and that sort of thing, which is good. I also managed to have, well, one new mad idea to bring to the table, which I'll talk about in a minute. And I also had a strategic planning session with one of my former existing clients, the lovely Shelley Fischel, who is, as we know, she's moving out to Israel at the end of the month, which has been a long time in the planning, and part of the reason why we've been working together on developing online courses for her, because she wanted to transition to an online business before she actually moved out there. And actually, because things went through an awful lot more quickly than I think anybody expected, she's now developing the business even more. So we had a couple of hours session just sort of working through and getting some clarity on steps and direction and all that kind of stuff, which is, I love doing those sessions and helping people find a clear path for where they're going with all of that stuff. So that was really, really good. We met up in London on Thursday for that. So that was nice. And then had absolutely cracking weekend. So I've got my head back into the fact that hockey started again, and on Saturday I managed to see goodness knows how many people and umpires from the circuit, just because I was doing a double set of coaching. So at one venue for one set of coaching, but I saw the umpires who were on the match beforehand, the umpires who were on the match afterwards, then went up to my second coaching and saw the umpires who were on the match before the one that I was doing the coaching on, plus the other coach that was there, and somebody else came along who was associated with one of the teams. So it was a great day for sort of seeing loads and loads of different people all connected with hockey, which is fantastic. So that was really nice. Then yesterday, Sunday, my bestie came down with her family, so husband and two kids. This links to what I was saying about sort of making sure that you're not sort of just pushing through and getting stuff done, but taking time to be where you are. One of the things I had to keep telling myself yesterday morning, whilst I was walking the dog before they came down, was to make sure that I didn't spend the day in their company, so physically in their company, but mentally thinking about all the work that I wanted to get done for the mad idea that I'll talk about in a minute. It's not such a mad idea, to be honest. It's a fairly sensible idea. But anyway, and just reminding myself to enjoy the day. And of course, you know, we've talked about this before. I enjoyed the day so much that when they left at sort of 3:30 and I was due to be going back and doing some work, so I don't want to. I'm not in the mood now. Yeah. I kind of, yeah, my head's in relaxation mood. I quite feel like, you know, sitting on the sofa and having a little snooze, but managed to push through and get some stuff done. So that was good. And part of the reason that I needed to do a few bits and pieces is because my idea was to put on a live training workshop, which will be happening on Thursday. So if you're listening to the podcast, it will have happened the night before you get this. And it's going to be helping people to understand whether or not online courses are right for them and their business. Because at the moment, in order to find that out, you have to spend time and money just investing in, you know, learning how to make them, learning what they could do, all those different sorts of things. And you might reach the end of that path and come to the conclusion that they're not for you. So much like the lady you were talking about the other week, who, and you've mentioned before, who came on your one-day course and then said at the end of it, brilliant, thank you for helping me understand, this isn't for me. That's a similar sort of idea to what this webinar is going to be about, which is taking people through my unique patented, it's not patented, but you get what I mean, scoring system. Because there are 5 building blocks that people need to have in place in order for them to have a reasonable chance of a success at integrating online courses into their business. Now, that's not to say that if I don't have enough or any one of those things in place, they can't do it, but it's going to be that much more difficult, that much more of a mountain for them to climb. So it struck me that it would be a really good idea to give people a way of understanding without spending too much money, because, you know, it's going to be £97 plus VAT to come along to this workshop, where I can help you understand definitively whether or not online courses are going to be something that is worth your time and your money investing in for your business, or whether or not it's just not right for you at the moment. And you can walk away safe in the knowledge that it's not right for me right now and come back to it later. So that's what I'm going to be doing. So the promotion and the marketing and all that kind of stuff for that this week.
Yeah.
And I'm just in the middle of building up the sales page and all that kind of stuff at the moment. So cracking weekend, really, doing all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very happy. Very happy. All right. So are we ready to move on to our top of mind topic for today?
We are indeed. And, you know, the first thing that I said to you this morning when we did our podcast preamble was, thank God we've got a guest this morning.
Exactly. I know. Somebody can do the talking for you.
You're the talking for me this morning. Not only have I failed miserably to prepare the top of mind this week because of, you know, all the other things that have been going on, so that's a bonus, and then it means that I don't have to do much talking for the next 10 minutes, which is even better.
I'm sure our esteemed guest feels brilliant about the fact that you're basically going to be snoozing again while she's talking. I'll ask the question, shall I?
Is it about please do.
You kick Gem out of her chair and you have a little snooze and I'll ask the questions.
So I'm delighted to have on the podcast this morning Sheridan Webb. Good morning, Sheridan.
Hi, Sharon. Hi, Jeanette. Thanks very much for having me.
Hey, it's a pleasure. How you doing?
Well, up until 10 minutes ago, wasn't that great, but I'm great now. So that's all that matters.
Oh, dear.
Well, for those of you who are not familiar, some of you are obviously Trainer Talk members, so you will know that it's this sort of long-running saga that we've had. For those of you who don't know, Sheridan, for the past, I don't know how many years it has actually
eons.
Been. 13 years, as long as I've been running a business.
13 years seems to be the only person in the whole of the UK who doesn't have broadband that allows her to do things like Zoom calls and webinars. And so about a week ago, she finally had sort of decent broadband installed, which has enabled her now to do things like be our podcast guest. And quite frankly, she's been delirious with excitement for the last week since we had broadband you know, installed. So
I know, but do you know what? It's still not good enough for my son.
What?
His PlayStation isn't loading quick enough, so you just can't please some people.
Oh, for goodness sake. Good grief. Honestly.
But we've asked Sheridan on, as you know, occasionally we do have guests on our podcast to talk about, you know, particular stories, particular experiences that we feel would be really helpful and useful for everybody to sort of listen to and to learn from. And in this case, I mean, Sheridan, you know, both Jeanette and I have known Sheridan a long time, more years than we care to remember. She has one of the original Trainers Hook members, so has been in our community a long time. She's a really, really active member of our community. So we love her, we're very grateful for everything that she does for the community. She's also one of our Trainers for Local leaders, and she runs the Trainers for Local in Liverpool. And the reason why we brought Sheridan on the podcast this morning is to talk about one of the topics that has popped up on our top of mind, I think a couple of times now, and that is resilience.
Absolutely.
And it's really kind of, you know, what do you do in sort of tough and difficult times? Because let's face it, we're all running our own businesses. We have good times. And we also have times that are not so good as well.
A bit slow.
So Sheridan, you know, tell us your, firstly, sort of what your story is around resilience and sort of secondly and most importantly, how you dealt with it and what you've learned from it.
Okay, it's where to begin, really. As I mentioned before, I've been in business now for 13 years, and in those 13 years, I can pinpoint three proper quiet periods in those 13 years. I'm not talking, I mean, we all have the odd quiet week or even the odd quiet month, but I'm talking sort of 3 months plus when you sort of think, oh, okay, there's not much going on in my business. What do I do about it? But the thing that prompted me to contact you was I was listening to your podcast in July, and you were talking about avoiding making decisions, snap decisions, and if you've got a plan, it's easier to make the right decisions.
Definitely.
And that just really struck a chord with me because this year, it's September now, and work's only just picked up this year. It has been an incredibly lean month. Lean year, I mean. It's been my toughest to date. However, due to learning from my previous two quiet periods, the first one, I took the opportunity to set up Power Hour. So I was designing those little ready-to-buy modules. So that kept me busy. And the plan was, obviously, that would set up a small amount of residual income. So the next time it happened, it's not like I had absolutely nothing coming in.
Yeah.
So I kept that going. And then in my second quiet period, it sort of coincided with when I did Success Shapers with you, Sharon. Mm-hmm. And you helped me get myself organized. I had these Power Hours and I had this bespoke training design service and I had a website and that's all I had. I didn't have newsletters, I didn't have a social media strategy, I didn't have anything. So the first learning, I think, for people is, you know, it's an ongoing thing. You sort of have to keep building all the time, and take advantage of those quiet periods. But going back to this particular time and the decision making, people in the Train and Talk community were being incredibly supportive, as they always are, offering me ideas, pointing me to associate work, and I started to feel like I was being a bit of an ungrateful cow, to be honest, because I wasn't taking them up on it, and it's because I have a plan.
Yeah.
And that's what you and Jeanette were talking about on that particular episode, about having your clear vision and knowing what you need to do to achieve that vision, and knowing that taking low-paid associate work that required, you know, two nights away and all the rest of it was not going to take me any closer. Now, that's easy for me to sit here and say, turn it down because it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. I know I'm super lucky that my husband can afford to pay the mortgage. So it's not to say that my income isn't needed and isn't valued, but we can ride through my quiet periods a little bit more easily than some people can. And I think that's really, really important to bear in mind, that I was able to be perhaps just a little bit more picky.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sort of kept my nerve, if you like, and kept doing all the things that you taught me to do and trusting the process. Trust the process, Sharon's always telling us. And I took the opportunity to develop something that, you know, I wanted to develop but never had the time when I was busy doing client work. So now I've set up the Training Designers Club, and I'm loving doing that. It's really not making me a lot of money at all, but I love it.
Yeah.
And all of these things have the potential to grow.
Yeah.
So it's, and the other sort of conclusion to this latest period, and the reason I sent you the email, is that by doing all of these things, by trusting the process, by being consistent in my marketing, by giving without any expectation of receiving, and by networking as well, networking with other trainers, for example, in the Train Talk community, I finally landed a contract in August that was the right sort of work for me. That is with a client that's got the potential to grow. And, you know, you just feel like, hooray, you know, the drought is over. Back on track. But, you know, I may not have been able to do that if I hadn't been consistent on LinkedIn, if I hadn't been networking with the right people, if I hadn't been building my associate group, or if I'd been distracted doing low-paid associate work for other people. Mm-hmm. So it's, a testing of time.
It's, yeah. You know, it's just so lovely to hear. I mean, well done for sort of, you know, for doing that, for taking consistent action and trusting the process and basically sort of doing all the stuff that we talk about all the time in Train Talk. I mean, it sounds to me as though there, you're proof of the pudding that this stuff actually works. You know, I know it does. Tell us about some of your kind of feelings that you're experiencing along the way, because I mean, you know, we were quite often we'd see you post in the Train Talk group, and one day they'd be one kind of post and then the next day there'd be another kind of post. So
absolutely that's, when it first went quiet, I thought, great, I've got a couple of free weeks to do all this stuff that I've been putting off. So I relish, you know, when you just get two or three quiet weeks, I absolutely love that. But you're absolutely right. Mondays, I'd be in the group going, yay, a whole new group. I've got all these things to do. I've got all these ideas. Fantastic. And then by Wednesday, I was like, what's the point? Why don't I just go and do something else? I don't see it. Because my energy had run out. I threw everything into it Monday and Tuesday. And then by Wednesday, I was really down. So what I learned to do on a Wednesday was take advantage of the fact that I'm self-employed and give myself permission to not work. And to say, do you know what, there are other things that need to be done. So whether that was getting out in the garden, whether it was trying a new exercise class, whether it was meeting a friend for coffee, and when I recognized that pattern, I thought, hey, this is okay, I can do this. And then I gave myself that little day off, or, you know, a few hours off, and then by Thursday I was like, right, get back on the horse. Let's see what else is on the to-do list, and let's see what is taking my fancy to do. So I think, you know, you have to be in the habit of showing up for work every day. And as much as I love Escape to the Country, I don't sit there watching it.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, again, a brilliant learning point about giving yourself permission. And I think I remember, you know, one or two of us, including myself, was kind of suggesting that you do that, and it is really important, because that's one of the joys, isn't it, of running your own business, you know.
Yes.
You know, that you can, I mean, you know, I could stay up till 3 o'clock last night. If I'd been in a proper job where I had to be at a desk somewhere by 9 o'clock this morning, no way would I have stayed up till 3 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can, that is one of the beauties of it. And so, you know, you've got to recognize that, and you've got to take that, and you've got to do that, because otherwise, what's the point in having own business. You might as well just be back in the kind of 9 to 5. But it does take a while to get there, to sort of be in that mindset, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And say, I've been through it twice before. So I know that you do get through it. And it takes, you know, different routes. And the other thing that I always go back to, Sharon, and I'm sure all of the Trainer Talk community will be familiar with Stephen Covey's Circle of Control. Mm-hmm. That keeps you sane. I mean, the reason that I'm quiet was I've written down the reasons that I was quiet. One client finished for 6 months. That was a planned pause. One had multiple personnel changes. So all the people I knew left in a very short space of time. One had a major restructure. One lost a major contract, so they were just not spending money if they didn't have to. And then one proposal that I had in, they chose someone else. Mm-hmm. So none of those things were within my control. And I think it's so important that, you know, when I was thinking about what can I do, it had to be stuff that was in my circle of control always, because there's no point worrying about things that you have no influence over. You've just got to crack on with what you can do.
Mm. And am I right in thinking, Sheridan, that all of those things happened within a really relatively short and close period of time to each other?
Yeah.
So if they'd been spread out over the course of 1 year, it wouldn't have had the same impact. It was just a perfect storm type situation, really, wasn't it, for you?
Yeah. And unfortunately, when I've had the second quiet period, it was exactly the same, because of the nature of my work as a designer, I tend to take on large projects with a small number of clients.
Yeah.
So there is inherent risk in that business model, which is why I have started to build my residual income, to just try and give that little bit of a cushion, because literally, you know, if I lose 3 clients, it's not like I'm losing 6 days training. I'm losing everything. Mm-hmm. So it's being smart and trying to future-proof yourself a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's eminently sensible. You know, if we approach our businesses and say, you know, I'm going to put all my eggs in this one basket, then that is going to have a situation at some point where the basket gets taken away. And it's like, oh, okay, now what do I do? Now, I'm not, you know, 3 times in 13 years is amazing, I think, anyway, to have only had 3 proper quiet periods in 13 years. I think gives you reassurance that your business model is not broken.
No.
It's just what you're doing is adapting to circumstances and the situation as it is now. And honestly, 13 years ago when you started, you wouldn't have been able to add some of the things into your business model that you are now.
So no, not at all.
Things like the online courses that you're offering now, there's no way you could have added those in. I mean, there is a way, but...
Jeanette, I struggled to do it 6 months ago with my internet.
You know, I wasn't going to bring it up. But... But it's exactly that, right? And even if you had brilliant internet back then, the mechanisms, the support, the various bits and pieces that you are now using to great effect weren't in place 13 years ago. So we have to, I think, as business owners, we have to take account of where the market is and what's going on and what's available to us. It doesn't mean we need to throw everything out and start again. It just means that we need to take advantage of the downtime. And as you say, have that plan as to where we want to get to and to see what works with that overall plan. Because,
yes,
I mean, it's one of the key facets of being resilient is this ability to be pragmatic, to understand that just because this is how it is now doesn't mean it's going to be this way forever, but I want to be ready for when it does pick up again, because then I won't have the time to do all of this other stuff. And I think you've been a superb demonstration of that this year. You know, you wouldn't be human if you didn't have that Wednesday, the hump day of the week, and sort of go, oh my God, what am I doing?
I think you called, I was listening to another one of your podcasts, and you said it's okay to have a pity party. I allow myself that day, that pity party for the day. So poor me, everyone else's business is going great and mine's falling, you know, away. I'm losing mine. But then next day, it's the time to put your big girl pants on, which is another thing we talk about in the Trainer Talk community.
We do.
You crack on.
You do. It's so true. So true. Have your pity party. Just put your parameters on it and just go, yep. And it's going to finish here. And then I'm going to move on and do something. And again, this is something that Sharon and I go on about all the time, is action. You need to be taking action.
Yeah.
And again, you've done that superbly, I think. And that's why we were very keen to have you on to talk about how you've gone about this, because you know, we can talk about it and do talk about things at length every week, and it's nice to hear a different voice talking
Thank
about
you.
It.
Oh my goodness. So just to, I mean, great lessons there, Sheridan, you know, thanks for sharing with us. And so just to kind of summarize that, I guess for you, it was all about, you know, to get yourself through this lean period. You know, you took the, yes, you had sort of, you know, highs and lows along the way and times where you felt really despondent. But what enabled you to get through it was the kind of standing back and looking at the big picture, you know, getting stuck into creating residual income because you had the time to do it, recognizing that you would come through in the end because, you know, all the good work you've done, you know, through the sort of the marketing, the consistency, trusting the process, and then also giving yourself permission to go off and do something else. Well,
yes.
Those are the sorts of things that really got you through it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and just before I finish, if I may do a quick plug for Trainer Talk Local in Liverpool on the 16th of October. Resilience is going to be our topic for discussion if anyone in the Northwest wishes to join me and share their stories.
Oh, very well done. That was smooth.
And you know, and on the subject of Trainer Talk as well, Sheridan, I mean, how, what role did the community play in helping you get through this lean time?
Right, just to be totally honest with you, as I'm thinking, I've got no money coming in, or virtually no money coming in a little bit. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do in 12 months' time if this doesn't change around. My husband said, well, you need to look at what you're spending. He said, so could you get rid of your virtual assistants? I said, yeah, potentially. He said, could you stop paying into Trainer Talk? And I went, no, absolutely not. It's the last thing that goes. because I swear that without this community, I would have given up for sure. And I'm not just saying that, but it is my lifeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes us very happy. Not that you've had a lean time.
No, but yeah.
Because that's what it's all about, you know, that's what we're here for.
Completely. So. And I would echo that because, you know, yeah, okay, so I broadcast the podcast with you, Sharon, but my first interaction with the community was as a freelance trainer and trying to work everything out when I first went freelance. And I have said several times, and I think there's a video of me somewhere on one of your websites, saying exactly this: I wouldn't still be in business if it wasn't for the Trainer Talk community. And I appreciate anybody listening to this that isn't part of the community going, yeah, how can it be that good? See, somebody else is saying it now. It's not just me going on about it. Sheridan said it as well, so there. But it's true, having that ability to go into a safe place and go, brilliant, everything's amazing, and also in the same breath, oh, but I don't know what's going to happen, is just, it's such an important thing to have access to, that, you know, I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't have access to something like that. But brilliant to hear you say it, Sheridan, because I was gonna say no, that's not something you can get rid of. But isn't it funny how we have lots of stories of people whose partners go, well, what about that Trainer Talk thing?
Yeah.
What's that all about? And they're like, nope, get your hands off, we know what we're doing, go away.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Sheridan, for spending some time with us this afternoon. See?
I know. She's out of it, people. She's lost the plot.
It is technically afternoon. I just saw the time.
Yeah.
I managed to get around that. But no, thank you. That's been brilliant. Some really, really useful lessons, I think, about dealing with resilience that our listeners can really... you know, can learn from. So
yeah.
Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And Jeanette will put all the details in the show notes in terms of how anybody listening can get in touch with Sheridan via LinkedIn, her website, etc.
I will do.
Okay. Bye for now, Sheridan. Thank you.
Yay! That was really cool. Really cool. And not prompted at all. I mean, you know, and bear this in mind, listeners, if either of us ever say, oh yeah, come onto the podcast for a chat, we don't actually give you any questions that we're going to ask beforehand. All we do is just say, yeah, we want you to talk about this thing, and that's it. So there was no prompting there whatsoever. all completely off the cuff and in her own words, as they say. So that was fabulous. All right, do you want to add anything else to top of mind, Sharon?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I saw that Ren can cope with this.
All right, should we move on to dog walking?
Let's go on to dog walking digest. Well, I did think about, what's Jen been up to this week, apart from obviously having lots of walks, not on the beach, because obviously can't take your dog on the beach until the end of September down in Wales, but obviously lots of beautiful walks on the cliff top and looking at the sea and all that kind of stuff. But a funny incident on Saturday. So Saturday we were going back home again.
Yeah.
And we cleared everything out of the Airbnb and then decided to, Amy came over on the Friday night, we'd been out for dinner, she stayed overnight, and then we were going to pack up, clear the place, get the stuff in the car and then go out for breakfast. So because Jem was about to go, in the car, mm-hmm. Jim decided that he would sort of, put this dog harness on her, which he kind of tried on the way down there and it didn't really work, but decided that he would. It's one of these harnesses you're supposed to put on and then attach it to the seatbelt.
Yeah, harness. I know the ones, yeah.
Because we have to put her on the back seat of the car now and not in the boots, because just recently, as you know, she's decided she wants to climb over.
Yes.
Which is very stressful when you're trying to drive along the motorway with a dog climbing over and then at any moment could end up on your lap.
Yeah, yeah.
One time while I was driving along the M42, but that's a different story.
Oh my word, yeah.
So she was all harnessed up and everything. Now, when she went in this harness like a week ago, I knew she didn't like it. She was giving you that look.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he decided to get her in, and as we walked down to breakfast, she was walking just like so slowly, and I thought it was because me and Amy were walking along, and Jim was way behind because he was faffing around with something else. And
yeah.
You know what dogs are like? They like everyone to be together, and I thought, she's walking slowly because of that. Anyway, we get to the cafe, sat down, had our breakfast, then we walk back to the car. And literally, she's walking like, I mean, honestly, it was so, it was unbelievable. To the point where I started worrying about, because, he was losing his temper as usual. I'm going, what's with this dog, And I'm like, oh, and he's stomping off. And I said, no, I because she's done a lot of walking this week. And she's, she's obviously getting on a bit.
Yeah.
And so I was quite concerned that she was just walking so slowly. And that, there was something wrong with her and she'd overexerted herself and all the rest of it. And it got to the point where I just thought, this is ridiculous. So I literally had to pick her up. So I'm staggering along with
oh, Lord. Yeah.
Down the road and everything. And at which point Amy's going, it's all right, Mum, I bet you're glad you go to the gym now and everything. Staggering under the weight of this dog. And so then we get to the road, and I sort of put her down as we cross the road. We get over to the car park where we had parked the car, put her down. I thought, well, she can walk that way. Let her off the lead, and she literally saw another dog in the car park, and literally just ran.
No.
And I think
little minx.
Now, I think, right, Jen being Jen, because I know how her mind works.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't have dogs, you probably think that I'm completely off my head. But you'll know what I'm talking about, Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
I think she thought, I don't like this harness. If I walk really slowly, they're going to take it off me.
Yeah.
That is exactly what happened. There was nothing wrong with her.
Well... Yes, I am absolutely positive you're right in that. Absolutely 100%. Because they're like toddlers. The argument sort of capability of them to formulate sort of, a cohesive argument is toddler level. So that's absolutely going to be the case. And there are all sorts of stories. Things like, is it lurchers? Lurchers, I think, can invent a limp. It's called The Lurch of Limb.
Exactly the same. This is why I know that she was doing this, because honestly, sometimes when you're on a walk, she decided that for whatever reason, she doesn't want, she starts limping. And she does. And then we go on and get all concerned, and oh, she holds the paw up like that. And then we go, look, oh, she's got a bit of something in her paw, and we could do all this, and then put her down. And she talks, she's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
No, she does this. She's clever.
Mm-hmm.
She's little monkey shit.
Well, you see, Scamp holding the paw up, Scamp is just the same. He has never, ever jumped into the car of his own volition. He'll jump out because it's exciting when he gets somewhere. But jumping into the car, even though he doesn't mind going in the car, it's not his favourite thing in the world, but he doesn't mind doing it. Even when I'm next to a raised curb and he can see in and he can see where he's jumping to, because that crossed my mind. But no, we have to sit there and pathetically hold up a paw so that I pick him up and put him in the car. And it's just, that so reminds me of that. It's the cunningness of a toddler. That's what dogs have. And so when you work it out, it's just, really? Really? Yeah. You know, bless her. Well, you know, I mean, Scamp has a similar thing in that at the weekend I said, Bestie came down, my friend Jasmine, and we worked out that we've known each other this year for 30 years. Where's that time gone? However, we were all over at the park walking Scamp, except we decided to stop at the beginning to get an ice cream from the cafe because it was such a beautiful day yesterday. And I've known this for a long time. Scamp doesn't like it if we're out on a walk and I'm standing still. So if I'm having a chat with somebody or whatever, he adopts this sort of woe is me pose, and he'll sort of stand there with his head a little bit down and his ears down, and he'll sort of look at me a bit Princess Diana like under the eyelashes, kind of thing, with his tail down. As soon as I start walking, that's it, we're gambling like a lamb all over the place, and oh, isn't it wonderful, everything's brilliant all over again. As soon as I stop and start, you know, talking to somebody, I'm really sad. For goodness sake, manipulative little what's it?
They are hilarious. You ever said dogs do not have such personalities and minds of their own. And the clever ones, like, you know, some breeds are cleverer than others. Let's face it, some are not that clever, but, you know, spaniels are clever.
They are.
They work things out and they communicate with you. And she was definitely doing this.
Absolutely. So are you ever going to try and put that harness on her again? That's the question.
Well, she'll have won then, won't she?
Oh, yeah, but she's an old lady. I mean, come on, let her have a mini victory. It's fine. As long as she's not climbing into your lap in the middle of the M42, then you'll be all right.
God.
Oh, don't. Honestly. I mean, Scamp rides. He rides next to me in the car. So his bed is on the front seat, and I've got his seatbelt thing rigged up. It's not a harness thing, but it goes over the seatbelt. So you have to plug the seatbelt in, and then you loop this thing on, and it attaches to his collar. But I like to give him enough leeway on the seatbelt, because otherwise it pulls it right back, and he doesn't understand that he needs to sort of sit forward. So the seatbelt pulls him back, and he'll just sort of, you know, be back there and throttling him. So I have to give him a bit of extra leeway on the seatbelt. But of course, that gives him more space to move around. So if we are stopped in traffic, or for traffic lights, or for something like that, he's standing on my leg going, what's going on? Is this where we're going? Is there a park here? Is there somebody else? Do I get a treat now? You know, it's like, get off, go and sit on your side. So even though he is technically secured and not interfering with the driver, that one might be stretching it a little bit. I mean, I've got him much better now to get back off and all the rest of it. But particularly when I'm sort of reversing into my driveway or into mum's driveway, he gets so excited because he's home or he's at his grandma's, that he's sort of, you know, trying to jump all over me. It's like, no, I can't see to reverse in until you sit back down again, mate. But the excitement gets a bit much for him sometimes. Poor little love. Anyway, that's another week of Dog Walking Digest. So we've got an event this week, Sharon.
Well, not this week. Well, we've got an event at the end of the month, obviously, Trainer Talk Live. Mm-hmm. You know, gosh, it's only a couple of weeks now. So
I know.
on my ever-growing to-do list. Panic. But yeah, so Trainersport Live, if you don't know, if you haven't been before, we highly recommend that you do come along.
Most definitely.
Day. We've got some brilliant speakers. So I think I mentioned last week, but
I'll mention again. Yep.
We've got Karen Curitan, who's going to be talking about social media, but looking at in terms of how can we manage it all, how can we sort of incorporate it into our day. Spoke to her actually when we were down in Wales, one of the many Zoom calls I did that week, about it, and sort of, you know, told her all about you lot, and I said, you know, they're not novices, they all know social media, so you don't need to tell them how to tweet or anything like that. So it's very much more around how do we make this happen, how do you know what are the best platforms for us out there, and she has some really, really good ideas, so I think that's going to be really good.
Excellent.
Practical. And then the lovely Nick Horton, who is one of our members, he's going to be talking about winning contracts, and particularly big sort of corporate contracts, because he does that very successfully. So he's going to kind of share all his insight, you know, with us, which would be great.
Yeah, really good. Looking forward to those two. So get your booking in if you haven't already to come along to Trainer Talk Live, and we'll see whether or not it really is Carol taking over from Keith. I mean, you know, I can't wait now to understand that. I didn't look at their website just in case, you know, it might be something like Roger who's taken over. That's no good. What number are you, Roger? So, looking forward very much to Trainer Talk Live. And of course, we're getting into, although we had the first one in Ireland last week, we're going to be getting into the second rounds of Trainer Talk Locals, aren't we? Including, mustn't forget, the first one in Leeds for Natalie Horton.
Yes.
So have a look in the show notes, folks, or on the Trainer Talk website for the Trainer Talk Locals. And we'll give you all the information for that. Brilliant. Okay, so no book this week. Next week, do you think?
Yeah, next week. I've got this week. I'm not making any promises.
All right, then. Okay, we won't make any promises about it. But Sharon has read books, listeners.
I have.
She has read them. Yes.
So I just need to order my thoughts so I can feed back something worth feeding back.
Yeah, 4 hours sleep and Rafa winning his 19th is not conducive to talking about a business book, is it, really? All right, shall we move on to the online course creation tip that I have for you this week? So what we've got is, this is actually best practice tip number one, and it's all about learning objectives. So as trainers, we will be very well used to setting learning objectives for our course overall that we're delivering, and probably for individual parts of the course as well. So different sections, if you like, within the course. But one thing that sometimes catches people by surprise when they're creating online courses is that my advice is to set a learning objective for every single lesson. Every single video that you've got in your course, just purely because it helps you stay focused. And the reason that you need to stay focused is because your videos ideally need to be in the sort of sweet spot of around about 5 minutes. You can push it up to about 7, and you can go beyond for particular subjects or particular things that you're talking about. So if, for example, you were doing the examples I always use, a guided meditation or yoga for example, sometimes those videos legitimately can go on for much longer. But if you are teaching subjects like most trainers do that are part of the Trainer Talk community, or listen, dare I suggest, to Trainer Talk the podcast, it's going to be more corporate subjects and things that can legitimately be broken down into these 5 minute chunks, and you need to set your learning objectives for those so that you don't go off at a tangent and you don't try to add too much information into one thing. Because, and again, this is something that trainers particularly struggle with, we are very used to delivering huge amounts of value over and above what's planned for a face-to-face course. Because, of course, we've got the knowledge, we've got the expertise, we're standing in front of a group of people who could ask any random question vaguely related to the subject matter at hand. And generally speaking, we're going to have an answer. We're going to have some more depth of information to give them. So when you're putting together an online course, it can be very tempting to try and cram as much what you see as additional value into each of those lessons as you possibly can. The problem is that has the opposite effect with an online course. It overwhelms people. It gives them too much information to think about. So in order to make sure you stay focused and you're only delivering one concept, you can go up to three sometimes in particular circumstances, but in order to stay focused for your individual videos, set a learning objective for those, and then that will keep you on track. If you feel that you're unable to provide a learning objective for that particular lesson, one of two things is happening. Either you're trying to say too much, or you're trying to say too little, which in itself might sound a bit bonkers when I'm talking about 5 minute videos, but sometimes it could be something that you could just deliver in the course of 30 seconds. You think, well, actually, would it be better to roll that into the next video and take it from there? So if you feel that you genuinely can't provide a learning objective for one of your lessons for a particular video, just the first port of call for you should be to think about, am I trying to say too much or am I trying to say too little? And then that should get you back on track for that one. And just keep doing that, chunking up or chunking down until you get to the point where you can give yourself a learning objective for the learners for each of those lessons. There we are. That's the top tip.
There we are. Well done, Jeanette.
Thanks very much. So well done both of us, because we're only at around the hour mark. This is quite extraordinary. I think it's lack of sleep on your...
I'm only half here.
Yeah. Only got half as much to say because you've only had half a night's sleep. Oh, well, unless there is anything more to say, which I think probably you're quite ready for another cup of tea now, aren't you?
Yes.
Thought so. So listeners, as usual, you can get hold of us over Twitter, so at Trainer Talk Pod, or you can email Sharon at thetrainerstrainingcompany.co.uk, or me, Jeanette, that's GT at getthatcourseonline.com. We are always very happy to hear from you. You can also have a look at either of our websites. I'll put those links on the show notes. Although, of course, if you're getting to the show notes, then you'll be on one of our websites in the first place. So anyway, you can have a look at the other ones, put it that way. But other than that, if there's nothing else to say or do, we'll let Sharon go and get a cup of tea, and we will speak to you again next week. Take care.
Bye.